Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to talk about a subject that may be of great interest to you. It's very simply called How to Make Money. How to Make Money. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Now notice he said you have to study to be quiet, but you also have to study to do your own business and to work with your own hands. And Paul said, as we commanded you. So we're going to talk today about how to do this, how to make money. Now, I've dealt with money most of my life. I was in banking before entering the ministry, and so I have some concept of money. Since I've been in the ministry, I've been asked to speak at some pastor schools on the subject of money because it's a little tough for people to understand or to handle. Now, I've always regarded how to make money as a bit of a mystery in my life. But after studying the Bible, we can see that there's, you know, very little mystery to how to make money. We're going to look today at the various ways to make money, and then we're going to talk about what to do with those ways. So here are the various ways to make money. First of all, Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Okay, the first way to make money is by labor. Matthew 20, verse 1, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. So these are guys that are going to work the vineyard. Labor. So this is a laborer. This is a person who goes to work for somebody else and gets paid a wage for doing the work. All right, the next category, or the next way to make money, is by traffic or merchandising. Look in Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Look with me at verse 11. We're going to go through. Look in the Bible. See what the Bible has to say about how to do this. Revelation chapter 18, verse 11, 12, and 13. The merchants and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple silk, scarlet, thyan wood, ivory, manners of vessels of most precious wood, brass, iron, marble, cinnamon and odors, ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses, chariots and slaves and souls of men. I mean, boy, they could just, anything they could find to sell that somebody else wanted, right? They found a way to make merchandise of it. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 18 and 24 show you even the qualities of the virtuous woman, that she has merchandise that she sells. So this person is a merchant. The first person is a laborer, and he makes his money by labor. This person is a merchant and makes his money or her money by merchandising, or what the Bible calls trafficking. You buy something at one price, turn around and sell it at another price. And hopefully that you sell it for more than what you paid for it. All right. The next category in the Bible of ways to make money is found in two places. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 12. We'll look there first. This category, or this way of making money, is called manufacturing. Manufacturing. Isaiah chapter 44. Look with me at verse 12 and 13. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. These guys are making idols, but notice, they are involved in manufacturing. This is the smith, like a blacksmith, and the carpenter. If you turn to Acts chapter 18, and look at verse 3, you're going to find that Paul was one of these. Acts chapter 18, verse 3, because he was of the same craft, that's talking about Paul, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And you can go through the Bible and find other people. So this is manufacturing. This is a craftsman or a manufacturer. It takes a raw material and works with it to make something. All right, now a manufacturer may or may not also be the merchandiser. In Proverbs chapter 31, the virtuous woman is the manufacturer. She makes fine linen, and then she also sells that. That is her merchandise. So she does both. But a manufacturer could honestly make something and then put it in the hands of a merchant, who then turns around and sells it. The merchant makes his money by selling it for more than he paid the manufacturer to buy it, and the manufacturer makes his money by his craft, by the work that he does to take the raw material and turn it into something of value or something of use or something of desire. All right, the next way to make money in the Bible is by service or by a profession. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 and look at verse 14. You say, why are we going through this study? Because there's a mystery in the minds of people on, man, how am I going to make a living? Well, there's only so many options, and we're looking at all those options that are in the Bible. And once you realize that there is a number of options, a limited number of options, then you can simply seek the Lord, find which one you're supposed to do, and then apply yourself to it and go do it. Colossians chapter 4, look at verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Notice that Luke is a doctor, the beloved physician. He is a doctor. That's a profession. And in his profession, he provides service to people in that he helps them, you know, get well and deal with medical problems. Titus chapter 3 and verse 13. Here's another profession. Titus 3:13, bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. Zenas the lawyer, a professional, a lawyer. All right, so a service or a profession is a contractor or a professional. For instance, plumbers, electricians, to give you a couple of examples, these provide services. They're contractors and professionals. They're trained to do what they do. All right, in the Bible, there's another way to make money. It's found in a number of places. I'll give you one in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Paul was referring to the ministry here, but he was comparing the ministry to some other occupations. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges, that's a soldier, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof, that's a vine dresser, or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk thereof, that's a husbandman. All of these deal with agriculture, not the soldier, of course, but the other two. Agriculture. So a person in agriculture could be a husbandman, a shepherd, a vine dresser, a farmer, something like that. Okay? He works the land. He may own the land himself and work his own land. He may rent the land from somebody else and work their land. Then they get a portion for the rental, and he keeps the remainder over the cost of his production for himself. So that's another way to make money, agriculture. Another way is, one guy in agriculture might say to me, that's not much of a way to make money. It's a great way to have a living, but it doesn't pay many of the bills. Well, I'll leave that to your discretion and understanding. Nevertheless, at least in some cases, you see men making money in agriculture in the Bible. All right, here's another one. Another way to make money is by rental or lease. Rental or lease. And that can be the rent of equipment, or it can be the rent of a property, the rent of animals, Exodus chapter 22, verse 15. Exodus chapter 22, verse 15. Here's a guy that rents out an animal. Verse 14 for the context, Exodus 22, if a man borrow aught of his neighbor and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. Watch it. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire. So a man might hire a carabao, for instance, and use it to help him plant or plow his field. So he's renting the use of that animal. In this case, you can rent any kind of thing. You can rent jackhammers, and you can rent tables and chairs, and you can rent ladders, and you can rent lifts, and you know how it is. You just go down to the equipment rental place and rent whatever you need. I've rented a good many tools to do work. In Acts chapter 28, we find another type of rental, and this is the rental of property. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 30, Paul hired out a house. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. That's a rent house. And received all that came in unto him. So he rented a house. That's the rental and lease of property. All right. Another way to make money is by investment, or what the Bible also calls usury. Now, there's an unjust gain in usury, but then there's also an appropriate usury. In our day and age, we refer to one of these as interest or return, and it's legitimate. The other one we refer to as usury is illegal. It's too much. Too much, you loan money, and then you charge too much interest, then that's illegal. But in the Bible, you'll find the word usury used, and it's not in the sense of illegal. It's the return on an investment. Luke 19, verse 23. Luke chapter 19 and verse 23. The Bible says, this is where the Lord is sorting out the pound. One man had 10 pounds and gets authority over 10 cities. Another made 5 pounds and has authority over 5 cities. One took his pound and hid it in a napkin. And then the Lord, when he's sorting this out with these men, he says to the man that hid it in the napkin, wherefore, in verse 23, wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. Usury. So that's investment income. And a person who does this kind of making money is an investor. Now, these are the legitimate things. I've given you 7 of them. I'm going to give you one that's not legitimate, but it is, but it's commonly practiced. It's called lottery. Lottery. And we'll look at this in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. And the Bible, among other things, calls this wealth gotten by vanity. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Proverbs 13, 11. Lottery. This is a gambler. This is a gambler. And I'll tell you unashamedly, don't do this, okay? It's the way a lot of people make money or attempt to make money. Most people lose. Lottery. Now, so the 7 really are the ones we want to concentrate on. These are the ways to make money. You can either make it by labor, as a laborer, by merchandising as a merchant, by manufacturing as a craftsman or a manufacturer, by service or by a profession, by being a contractor or a professional like a CPA or a doctor or a lawyer. You can make it by agriculture, by being a husbandman or a shepherd or a vine dresser or a farmer. You can make it by renting or leasing out equipment or property as a lessor or a landlord. Or you can make it by investment as an investor, assuming that you have some to start with. These are the ways to make money. And you look through the Bible, you're not gonna find anything else. Now, in certain industries, you will have several of these categories involved in the same industry and overlapping. Take the automobile industry. You've got laborers, and you've got professionals, and you have service, and you have manufacturing, and then you have merchandising. You got all that. And then when it comes to the sale of that automobile, you have usury or investment, because some of these things are sold on loans, and you also have rental and lease, because some of that is sold on a lease basis. So certain industries, you got a lot of these categories involved, and some of those categories overlap. And of course, in many of these categories, you can have illegitimate, illegal, or unethical practices. A professional prostitute, for instance. That's not the way for you to go and make money, but there are people who do. Okay, it's an unethical thing, and it's illegal, and yet that's the way it is. Or people sell drugs. That's trafficking. That's merchandising, but it's illegal. All right, now you might think of many more people than what I have in the seven legitimate things here we talk about making money. Labor, merchandising, manufacturing, service or profession, agriculture, rental or lease, and investment. You may say, oh, no, I can think of many more people than that. I can think of soldiers and entertainers and athletes and all these as separate categories. But if you think about it, these separate categories are all found in the top seven that we have here. Like, for instance, a soldier who is just an entry-level, you know, an infantryman, for instance, is a laborer. He's getting paid to go do a job. When he finishes his job, then he's done. But you have many professionals that are soldiers also, and very, very highly trained, and even some of those are involved as craftsmen and manufacturing and so forth. As far as performers or entertainers are concerned, those are professionals. You know, they are actors, or they're musicians, or they're athletes. And so all of these that you can think of, that you'll have numbers, like engineers, that's a profession. They all fit, see, in one of those seven things that we just mentioned. Now, you know what's nice about that is that it just takes all the mystery out of making money. You're either going to make money by being a laborer, a merchant, a manufacturer, a professional, a farmer, a landlord, or an investor, or something similar to those. That's it. And you know, when you think about it, you think, well, okay, this is simple. You know, I'm going to make money by working for somebody else, or by selling my time, or by selling something that I make, or by employing myself in some way in a profession where people will hire me to do these things. Now, the easiest one of these to get into is labor. You really, a lot of times, don't have to have any skill and all that. You just have to have a desire to work, go sign up, and go do the job. So a lot of people are laborers because they need to get busy doing something. They need to make some money, and they go to work. The next easiest of these to get into, perhaps, is service. For instance, I knew a friend of mine who put himself through Bible school as a window cleaner. When he was in school, there were professionals who were washing commercial windows, but nobody was doing residential windows. And so he knocked on doors. He bought a bucket. He bought a squeegee. He bought some soap, and he bought a sponge, and, you know, whatever. And he went to work. I mean, it was a very low-cost investment. The first job he did, he paid for all of his supplies, and everything after that was profit for his service. Pretty easy way to get into business. The next one that's easy to get into, or up the scale of difficulty, is merchandising. It's on par with service. However, it may require more startup capital than you have. If you can find somebody that's willing to consign you some things, and then you go out and sell those things, you get to keep the profit. But if you have to go buy that stuff first and then turn around and sell it, well, you may have to have some startup capital before you can start. Now, after these three, that is labor, service, and merchandising, after these three, you've got to either have a lot of education or training, or you've got to have a lot of capital, or you might have to have both in order to get started. A doctor, tremendous amount of education and even some capital, because he's got to open an office. That's very difficult to do. In all these cases, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't make a difference whether you're in labor or a highly educated professional. You, listen, cannot be lazy. You cannot be lazy. You must work diligently. And this is where the problem comes in. I read a book recently. I'm thinking in terms of this working diligently, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Sluggard, you're to consider the ant. She doesn't have a guide, overseer, or ruler, but she provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. And then he says, how long will thou sleep, O sluggard, without arise out of sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth in thy waters an armed man. You can't be lazy. I don't care what you do. You can't be lazy. I'm thinking of a book that I read recently called Boys Adrift. And interestingly, there were some professors in the Washington, D.C. area that set up a program in high school where once you graduated from high school, you could graduate as a licensed plumber and go to work right away as a journeyman, making $50,000 or $60,000 a year and no school debt at 18 years old. They could only find 10 people to sign up for the class, and by October there were only 3 people left in the class, and so the school district folded it. You know what the problem was? They didn't want to work. Now, the basic motive for making money, according to the Bible, is hunger. That's the basic motive. Proverbs 16, verse 26. It's very simple. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. Proverbs 16, 26. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 7 also says the same basic thing. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Well, that's job security, because if your appetite is not going to be filled, then you're going to get hungry, and if you're going to get hungry, you're going to have to go back to work. So the basic motive for making money is hunger. That's why Paul forbade the church in Thessalonica to feed those who were not working. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verses 8 to 14. Here's the problem. Paul said, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. 2 Thessalonians 3:8. But wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. So he's laboring. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So Paul forbade the church of Thessalonica to feed those who weren't working. Why? Because when you feed people who aren't working, you remove their basic incentive to work. Now, Paul was so adamant about this that he worked with his own hands to set the example, as you see here in 2 Thessalonians. Paul was speaking to the elders at Ephesus in Exodus chapter 20, and as he was wrapping up the last of what he had to say before he left, he told them in Acts chapter 20, verse 34, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And Paul was a very, very busy man. If you read his testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28, he didn't have time for making tents with all that he had to do in the ministry and all that he suffered, and yet he did it to set an example that if you're going to eat, you got to apply yourself to the work. Now, the Bible is clear. The wrong motive for working is covetousness. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 says, labor not to be rich. Proverbs 23, verse 4, in case you're keeping notes, says, labor not to be rich. I mean, it just could not be simpler than that. Cease from thine own wisdom, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus Christ relates a story, and he says, you know, beware of covetousness. Then he describes a man who makes a huge crop and doesn't have barns big enough to put it all. And so he says, I'm going to tear down these barns, build bigger, and lay it all up, and I'll have my ease for a little while. And the Lord called him a fool, because he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And the lesson is, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, you wouldn't know that today. You look around today, it's obvious that making a lot of money and loving money and greed is a huge motivator, because people have and they want more. You know, every house has a storage unit somewhere down the street, right? And we've heard from Paul's letter to Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. So the right motive, hunger. Wrong motive, covetousness. Now, the way to keep God's blessing on your work is to give. I know we're just running right on down the list, but listen, you listened today because you were looking for an answer on how to get yourself out of the situation you're in, or how to instruct your child or some friend on, hey, this is what you need to do. Well, one aspect of all this how to make money is to have it blessed by the Lord, and one way to have it blessed is to make sure you give it. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Proverbs 3:9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, we read a beautiful passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Watch it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The way to be, you know, keep God's blessing on your work is to give. Now, if you're struggling with how to make money, or you've been trying to find out how to teach someone else how to make money, or you know, just trying to help somebody else out, then just follow this simple outline and prayerfully consider which one of these to do. You're either going to labor, you're going to be a merchant, you're going to be a craftsman or a manufacturer, you're going to be a contractor or a professional, you're going to be a farmer or a rancher, you're going to be a landlord, or you're going to be an investor. That's it. There's not a whole lot of rocket science to it. Usually you're going to either be a laborer or a manufacturer or a professional or a merchant this day and age. Until you made some money and have a retirement, you're probably not going to worry much about being an investor. You just stick a little in your IRA and go on down the road. So you got to have made it to be able to do that. So these are your options. It's not rocket science. It's just plain and simple. But as you can see, it takes work. So apply yourself, or tell whoever you're trying to teach about this to apply themselves to this simple little analysis of the ways to make money in the Bible, and then go do one of these. But there's no money that grows on trees. You're not going to sit on your keister, as they used to say, and expect it all just to come in. You've got to apply it, you've got to give it, and you've got to trust God to bless the labor that you're putting forth. And I pray that He will. I pray by this the Lord will help you as you're dealing with the subject of how to make money. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.